Hey, everybody, it's Aline Thompson. I want to welcome you to the podcast today. I am super excited because Nancy Ray, entrepreneur, mama, Christ follower, and wonderful business leader, is joining us today. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're so glad that you are here. I have to tell you that I use your resources, and I'm subscribed to your newsletter, and I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
So I'm so grateful. And I always say this at the beginning of every podcast, but I never recommend anything until I've used it first. And to all my listeners out here, Nancy is a great leader, and she consistently is sharing great content through her newsletter. So definitely go to her website and check that out and sign up. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you started your business, Nancy Ray Photography?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm so grateful to be here, Aline. Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I always tell people when I tell them the story of Nancy Ray Photography that God gave me this business, and it was his idea. And it goes back, I've been doing this for 10 years now, where I've been photographing weddings and families. I was born and raised in Raleigh, but I went to school at Appalachian State and studied photography because I loved it. And while I was in school there, I started my business, started shooting weddings on the side, and was just really nervous and thought, you know what, this is never going to really amount to much of anything. It'll probably always just be like a side gig or a hobby. So as soon as I graduated, even though I had started this side business of Nancy Ray Photography, I started applying to be a nanny. And it was in the middle of the recession in 2008, and the only nanny job that I could even find to apply for ended up turning me down. And it was devastating to me. I thought this, I mean, I'm newly graduated from college. I wanted to, you know, help my family's income, and my husband and I were newlyweds. And my husband was working night shift at the time at Walgreens as a manager. And I woke him up in the middle of the day at 2 p.m. and he was asleep, because that was his nighttime sleep, was during the day, and just crying my eyes out, saying, I did not get this nanny job. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I don't know what to do now. And I was devastated at that closed door. He said, it's, you know, it's sleepy. He's like, in the middle of the night, he's like, it's going to be fine, hon. Like, you know, he's hugging me and comforting me. And I just felt like such a failure that I couldn't even get a nanny job. And that closed door was the gift that the Lord gave me of Nancy Ray Photography, because after that point, I just dove all in. Like, I jumped into the deep end of the pool. I gave it my all. I would spend hours reading blogs and online forums about photography. I would take every single photo shoot that came my way, shooting for practically no money, just learning and getting as much experience as I could. And slowly but surely, you know, that all started in the beginning of 2008. And slowly but surely, just word of mouth started spreading, and I got more clients. And, you know, the first year I was shooting about 7 weddings. The second year it was 10. Then it was 17, and, you know, I kept raising my prices along the way. And goodness, 10 years later, you know, we moved back to Raleigh about halfway through, and it has been just the greatest gift. It's been amazing, and God closed that door and allowed me to jump in and give me work that I love. I'm so fulfilled by this work. I love it so much. And I'm so grateful. So I can't take any credit, because if I had gotten that nanny job, I don't know that I would be where I am right now. Because that would have taken up so much of my time and energy. And I always love to share that, because people usually are devastated with closed doors. And it's just a good reminder that God is always in control, and he always has a better plan, even when we can't see it all. So, and since then, about 5 years ago, I hired a team as well. I started hiring a couple girls to help me actually shoot weddings. And so now, there's myself, 2 other wedding photographers, and a family photographer. And we all just live and work out of Raleigh, and we love it.
That's fantastic. I love that. I love that. I love what you said about closed doors too. That's always such a great reminder.
Yeah.
And something that I see through your content and what you just mentioned is that when you said you dove into the deep end and you talked about reading all the blogs that you could, one of the things that I see in you that has really inspired me as a leader is that that you are a leader that is constantly learning.
Yes.
And that you devote time to reading books and you invite other people to read with you. I love your book club. And I always check out what you are reading.
Yes.
So what is the value of learning with leadership and how can our listeners learn with you?
That is a great question. And, you know, leadership, I think a good leader has to stay humble. I think a good leader has to stay vulnerable and humble and always have open hands to receive new things, because this world is big and beautiful and there's so much to be learned. And, you know, the Lord talks about if you ask him for wisdom, he's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you more, and that he's endless. Like, you can always gain more. But I think one of the highest attributes you can have as a leader is to stay humble and hungry. And so, I do believe leaders are always learning. And, I always read books that have been recommended to me. So, I get recommendations for books all over the place, whether I hear about it on the radio or a podcast or a friend, or, you know, someone at church or a pastor will say something. I have this like ongoing list that I keep in my phone of books. And so every time I hear of a good recommendation for a book, I add it to that list. And then every year before the year starts, I choose 12 books. So I try to read one book a month. So I'm not like a crazy reader, but it's like a good piece for me, just to stay on top of learning and reading. Mm-hmm. And so, I started 2 years ago, it was like an idea I had for my 30th year of life. I wanted to reread the 12 most life-changing books I've ever read. And I started a book club and I invited people to join me in reading those books. And I called it the Nancy Rae Book Club. And so, you know, it's on my website, nancyraephotography.com. If you just search Nancy Rae Book Club or book list, you'll find my book lists for every single year for the past 5 years. You'll find my book club. And I just love reading and learning. My dad, I have vivid memories of my dad growing up where I would come down the stairs at, 11 or 11 p.m., 12 a.m., super late. He's reading just book after book. He has always been the biggest reader, and he always quoted Charlie Tremendous Jones, who said, "You are going to be the same person 5 years from now that you are today, except for the books that you read and the people you meet." Wow. And when I was young, I would always say, that is the dumbest thing. those two things won't really change who you are 5 years from now. And that quote is, now that I'm older and I've started reading, because I didn't start reading till later in life, but once I started reading, I think that quote is so true. Like, 5 years from now, you're going to be the same person you are, except for the people you meet and the books that you read. And so I have just made endeavor to read and learn and stay humble and like a sponge, just constantly soaking things in. My whole life, I want to be a lifelong learner.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love how you put that's a place of humility, and that God's wisdom is endless, and that the creator of the universe, the creator of, mankind, that there's so much that we can learn. And when we see that as this beautiful lifelong journey, it can become really exciting. And I love that you have that on your website, because with all the information out there, I don't have to guess. I know you've already sifted through a lot of it. So I can just see the books that you're reading and maybe pick out six or so for myself to read during the year. So that's a great resource. One of the things too that I see inside of your business is that your business is a ministry. I see that, and I hear that from your content and from you a lot. And so can you expand on that concept? Because sometimes I think that women might feel if they're in a career, like, well, I don't really have a ministry or whatever. So what piece of encouragement would you give maybe a young entrepreneur as she's looking at this possible starting a business or in a business now?
Absolutely. So, you know, this journey for me starts again, like when I was young. I have memories of, you know, I became a Christian when I was 12 and I started following Jesus then. And, I would go to these youth camps and, youth retreats, and there would be, you know, a call for, you know, do you want to be saved? Do you want to follow Jesus? And then they'd say, do you want to go into full-time ministry? And I remember sitting there, very vividly thinking, like, I think that we should be called to ministry no matter what, like whether you're a pastor or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a mom or whether you're a business owner, I think we're called to ministry. And I understand now they meant like a full-time vocational ministry. Like I understand
right.
that.
Right.
But looking, I had this like feeling inside me. I think it was the Holy Spirit just saying like, you're going to be doing ministry, but it's not going to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never went forward when those calls were made, but I know I'm going to be in ministry. Like, I know I'm going to be doing ministry for my whole life. And I believe that if you're a believer, no matter what work your hands finds to do, you will be doing ministry because you have Jesus inside of you.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit leading you. And so it doesn't matter whether you are on staff at a church on staff with the government or on staff, you know, at a school or on staff in a business or if you're at home being a mama, like you're doing ministry. That's what we're called to do. And so, yeah, for someone who's young, starting out, who's a believer, like it actually is pretty simple. I actually have people email me and ask me, like, how do you run your business as a Christian or as a ministry? And I think that you just love Jesus with everything that you are,
mm-hmm.
and focus on following him and getting to know him, getting to know the Lord in your personal time in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day. You know, listen to worship music. We pray before every meeting, before we start every day. There's simple things that you can do, and it just changes the way you approach life. And even, you know, talking about my story, I feel like God gave me this business. This work is mine to steward for him, but mm-hmm. it's all his.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not my work. And I think that's another piece of advice I had someone, if I could tell someone who is younger, maybe starting out or wanting to run a business that is God honoring, the first thing you have to realize is it's not your work. Like, everything comes from the Father and it's provision, but it's his, you know? And so you, I heard this great podcast that talked about your calling versus your assignment.
Mm.
And we are called to be followers of Jesus. We're called to be Christians. We're called to walk with him, and our calling never changes, but our assignments in life, they change. Your assignment is to be leading a business, to be working underneath someone, if your assignment is to be at home, whatever your assignment is, it needs to be an overflow of your calling. And that's how you do business as ministry.
Mm.
It should be an overflow of your heart. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's beautiful. And when we are who God created us to be, because obviously, like you're saying, you opened up this door, you're fulfilled in this work, that's where we shine. And
right.
And just through the posts and the content that you have, and how you point people back to the Lord, you know, in your book selections, there are business books, but there are Christian-based books.
Right.
I think that speaks volumes. And I love that. I love, love, love that.
Right.
Okay. So with that, because I think a lot of times women will say, well, I don't have this huge role in my church, but then they feel called to be, you know, a lawyer or whatever. And so because we feel like we should be doing all of these things, we hit that overwhelming button. And you sent out a newsletter. It was not too long ago. And this is what I want to hit on today. And it was a game changer for me. I love it. So anyway, I'm like, oh, I hope you write a book on this. But to go even more in this, but inside of your newsletter, which again, you can go to Nancy Ray Photography and sign up for her newsletter.
Yes.
And also your Instagram post is pretty awesome too, because obviously the images are great, but the content's awesome too. But the little tidbits that I get from your newsletter really are good. And I don't keep newsletters in my inbox that are just taking up space, you know, and I love your newsletter. This past one that you sent not too long ago was a huge aha moment for me. And I want to just share what you wrote, because I think there's a lot of women that are going to relate to this. What you said is, you can't be balanced, but you can be fulfilled. While we never actually will be balanced in life, because it is impossible to spend equal amounts of time on everything important to us, we can be fulfilled and actually feel balanced in seasons of rest and work and chaos and calm. And that's the goal. It's not about, I love that, because I think that that's one of the reasons why we feel defeated, is because we're striving for this goal of balance, which says maybe I'm spending as much time at work as I am in a leadership position inside of my church, and oh well, I'm not doing that, and so maybe there's something wrong with me, or vice versa. And so I love what you said. And inside of this email, you have a 5-step process to eliminate overwhelm and restore joy, and it is awesome. So I would love for us to go over those 5 steps and just have you share on each one. And first, I have to ask you, did you arrive at this because you were so overwhelmed and you're like, I have to find a solution, because this can't be the life that Christ wants for me, right? Like, if I'm going crazy. Yes. So can you give some background on this story?
Yes, 1,000 times. Yes. Like, I know overwhelm very well. I knew it for years, and I'll be honest, some days I still feel overwhelmed, right? And it's something that I think as women, especially women in America, it's like this cultural thing that we have to be doing everything, and then we just feel like out of control, overwhelmed, like where do we even begin? It's just not a very fun way to live every single day, right?
Like,
that's not joy when you are constantly being overwhelmed. I mean, I have several times in my life broken down to the point of tears, melting down, like, I cannot do this. I cannot do this anymore. I am so overwhelmed. And those words have come out of my mouth several times. Early in my business, especially when the to-do list is so long to get where you see yourself wanting to be, that can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Any day, you know, you can be overwhelmed as a mom when I'm young days, because I'm a mom of 2 young girls, 6 months old and 2.5. And there are days where I feel very overwhelmed by trying to be everything to them and trying to run this business. And there are kind of 5 steps that I've kind of outlined that help me feel whole and grounded and balanced, like no matter what my day looks like. And that's the kind of life that I want, you know, and that's the life the Lord wants for us. Like he wants abundance, and he wants us to be grounded in him, and he wants us to keep our eyes on him. So just like transitioning into the first point, that's why I say the very first point is to ground your heart first. Like that's the key to feeling fulfilled. You have to ground your heart in the Lord first. Like and on the days that I don't do that, that's the first, when that's the first thing to go, that's when the overwhelm certainly starts to creep in.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard it say before, like when you start your day with God, it's almost kind of like you have his perspective and a filter for the rest of your day, like where you need to be spending your time, what really, 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 really matters most. So I love that. So number one is ground your heart first. What are some of the things that you do to ground your heart?
Yeah, so the first thing that I always try to do or aim to do in the morning is just be still and silent. That can be hard to do on some days when my girls wake up early. but I do try to set the clock every day to beat them awake so that I can have at least like 15 minutes of me just being still and being silent. And I want, by doing that, you know, silence is like a Christian practice that goes back for hundreds of years just to quiet yourself and listen to the Holy Spirit. But man, it is so neglected, I think, in today's age. Even a lot of times in devotionals and things, it's like you show up and you have to do something to feel like you spent time with God.
Yeah.
And I try to start every day, even just 2 minutes, like setting time for 2 minutes of just being, just sitting and like listening.
I love that.
So that's the first thing that I try to do every day. And then after even just 2 minutes of that, I try to get that scripture in my head, and whether that's one verse or whether I'm reading through the Bible and it's four chapters, you know, with small kids, I always am in a season of like meditating on one verse, right? Like it's real hard to get in a lot. In the past, before kids, I read through the Bible every year, and that was awesome too. But just getting scripture and God's truth and his word in my mind ahead of everything else. And then I journal, and journaling is, I've done so many different things journaling through the years, and there's just freedom there. I think the biggest thing for me in grounding my heart and in journaling is just to be honest, like really honest with where I am, and just get that on paper, and then just ask the Lord to take over and take my thoughts in my day, and then I give the day to him. And that grounding my heart and grounding my day in that makes a huge, huge difference. And even trying, you know, that's step one. But I try to come back to that throughout the day. I read the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality 2 years ago, and it blew my mind because it says like it's the Christian walk is never supposed to be just something in the morning. It's supposed to be throughout the day.
So
I'm trying to get in the habit now of just taking moments throughout the day to be with God and just get quiet before him too.
Isn't it amazing how we were taught years and years, do Bible study. And yet the Bible really talks a lot about reflecting and meditating on scripture than that. And I always tell people with Bible study and with, you know, with Nourish, the goal is never to complete your lesson or to, it is to connect with Jesus. That's it.
So
I love that. And especially now in this information age, it's so key to start quiet. That's awesome. That's not something that I am doing, and I'm going to start applying that to my day. All right. So let's jump into the next step. So ground your heart first, and then the next step is prioritize well. So explain the importance of that.
it's super important, and I don't know why, but it is so hard to do. I mean, I struggle with this every single day, like actually taking the time to look at my day, make a list of things I have to do, and then pick the things that are most important and do those first. Why is that so hard? And I'm like the first person that will just busy myself, right? Like go to the dishwasher and unload because I know that needs to be done, or check my emails and answer them because we gravitate towards the things we're really good at because we feel good about ourselves when we do those things. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're prioritizing well and doing what's most important. I love the quote by Peter Drucker that says, efficiency is doing things right, but effectiveness is doing the right things. And I'm really good at being efficient. Like, I'm really good at, you know, all the little things that I'm really good at. Like, I'll be efficient and I'll knock this out and I'll do this. But I want to be effective. And that means doing the right things, which is what's most important for today. And so, you know, that's, it's kind of like being efficient is one of those days where I'm like, you know, I answered emails, I did this, I did this, like, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of my day, I'm like, what did I actually get done? And you don't really know. Being effective is when you've planned your day, you stick to your priorities, and you look back at your day and say, that felt good. It was hard, but it felt good because I know I did the things that I needed to do that day. And my method in doing this is, it's pretty simple, and I don't want to jump ahead. So just choosing like three things, mm-hmm. like that's my biggest encouragement. It's like that. when you're prioritizing, like only choose 1, 2, and 3 to do that day. Like don't choose any more than three things, and then try to do them in that order.
Okay.
And that, again, going back to feeling fulfilled, that's how you can feel fulfilled. And that, you know, in that order, for me, when I'm at work, those three things are going to be work items, like things that I'm trying to move my business forward, big things. So I'm not counting appointments or emails in those things. When I'm at home with my girls, my big three things for the day might be like taking my girls to the park. You know, cleaning up the playroom with them, or just having like a dance party. You know, you get to choose the priorities, but like what's going to make your heart full by the end of that day, and try to do those things first.
I love that. And I love that you just pick three, because I think for me, part of the problem is I get so overwhelmed because I see like the zillion on my list. But I love this because I can say, okay, if I got nothing else done today but three things, what would those three things be? And then pushing them up to the top. And when we start our day in prayer, we can ask God to help us with that. I mean, it's
don't
hard.
Think there's only three things on my list. Like, there's for sure like 48 things on my list today.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just the list keeps going. There's always going to be more to do. But you take some pressure off of yourself, and you also really can get that hyper focus of just spending, and it takes a little bit of time planning. I think that's the hard part in the morning. Mm-hmm. You got to sit down and look at everything, and you can't be lazy and not take the time to really think this through and then choose those three things. And I don't do it perfectly every day. Sometimes I get to the end of my day, I'm like, I didn't do those three things. I didn't do it. You know?
See, Ray, so, you're not perfect. Shoot.
No.
Okay. So here's my question. Do you do that at night or in the morning? Make your list.
I do it in the morning.
Okay. Yeah.
I do it in the morning. I think you could do it either way, though. I think if you're more of like a clear your head, get everything ready for the next day, do it at night. I have friends that kind of do a brain dump and clear everything off and kind of make a plan for the next day at night. But I do mine in the morning.
Okay.
It's either way. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. And it's hard to do. It's hard to stick with what you're doing now. At Treasure Ministries, I feel like the Lord has told us to be organized and to get our systems in place. And boy, when you're creative and you love to write, you don't want to organize. Like, but I'm like, okay, this is what God has told me is the first piece, and then I need to go on. So I'm totally tracking with you. But that, I love that pick three things. That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so next, block your time.
Yes. So plan your day in 1 or 2 or 3 hour blocks, depending on what you're doing. And, you know, this helps me. I get it visual, and I'm the kind of person that I'm like still paper and pen. Like, I love writing things out in my planner.
Me too. I have,
you know, the online, there's task organization, and there's so many great things online. So if that's you, that's totally fine. You can figure out a way to assign hours to those things. But I like to write it out and then put time frames on each one. There's this thing called Parkinson's Law, which is like whatever you have to do will actually morph and fit in the time that you give it. If you can like, you can Google Parkinson's Law. It's really fascinating.
Okay.
Basically saying if you give yourself a deadline and you say you have to get it done, then you'll get it done. It's kind of like when you're cramming for an exam in college, right? You wait to the last minute, and you start 2 weeks ahead of time and you spend 10 hours studying, or you start the night before and you cram and you spend 3 hours studying, and you know, you can kind of whip it out if you have to. But basically it's the power of a deadline is basically it. So if you block off your day in like 1 hour or 2 hour or 3 hour chunks, then I find myself like having more of an intense focus on getting that one thing done. And then when the timer's up, then you have to be done and you have to move on. And that's another hard thing, self-discipline wise. You have to enforce that for yourself. But by doing that, you eliminate a lot of distractions because you say, I've got 1 hour to get this done. So I'm not going to go, you know, get distracted with Instagram or open my inbox. If I have 1 hour to complete this thing, then I'm just going to only focus on that one thing.
Oh, that's good.
So that's what I mean by blocking your time. I like to kind of tackle it in chunks of time.
So then if you don't get done with something, then you go ahead and move on to your next task.
I do. I try to.
Okay.
I mean, it depends. If you know, I'll make the call in that day. If I'm not done, but I'm super close to being done,
mm-hmm.
then maybe I'll push the timeline back a little.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's helpful to have the start of your day thinking, this is the goal. And that way you know, okay, if I'm going to push this back 15 or 20 minutes or half an hour, then it's going to eat away at the next time frame that I have. So right. then you have to kind of play that prioritization game again. Okay. Which one's more important to do?
Gotcha.
But it forces you to think that way.
Uh-huh.
If you assign them the time frames versus just kind of fiddling your day away or spending your whole day on one task, when really it could have been, you know, distracted living, when it could have gotten done maybe in 2 hours of like
yeah.
undistracted focus.
Yeah,
know?
I love that. I love that. That's powerful. I love that. I'm going to look up that Parkinson's law. Okay, so start your day grounded, prioritize well, block your time. Number four, kill multitasking. Now, explain
yes.
this to me, because I thought, you know, you just see this picture of a woman and she's juggling all the things and blah, 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 blah. And so isn't that more effective? No. What is, so multitasking is not effective.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, this is, It's interesting, and it's funny because women, I think, we wear this as like a mantle of like pride, like we're like so proud we can be the best multitaskers. And you know, certainly there are times in life where you have to be doing multiple things at once.
Mm-hmm.
But in the times that you can control your hours, your time, your work, my biggest advice is to kill multitasking, because, and this kind of points back to what I was just talking about, blocking off your hours undistracted. It takes you twice as long to do something if you're jumping back and forth versus if you just sit down and do the one thing.
Twice as long?
If you just think about this logically,
wow.
like it makes sense, but for some reason we think that it's better like to multitask, but really yeah. you're slowing yourself down so much by multitasking. And there are studies on this. I mean, really,
mm-hmm.
you can like just even Google like the myth of multitasking. Like you're going to mm-hmm. find articles about how it's much better to be 100% focused in on something than it is to be trying to do 2, 3, or 4 things at once, because it ends up just slowing you down. So I'm a
yeah.
big believer. I also, if you ask my husband, he will tell you I'm terrible at multitasking. I am not a woman that like says I'm good at it. And I'm just straight up bad at it. Like I like doing one thing at a time. But I will say the biggest thing about doing one thing at a time that I think, which is why I love it so much, is you feel accomplished. Like you feel that accomplishment and that balance
mm-hmm.
when you check that off your list and you're done, versus when you're multitasking and then a few hours go by, you're like, what did I do exactly? And then the overwhelm can start to creep back in because
yeah.
you're like, I didn't do a thing, but I did a million things, but what did I do? And gosh, there's still so much left to do on my list. And that overwhelm starts to creep back in.
Yep. Yep. And if you've prioritized, and let's say you just got one thing done, but it was the most important thing, like
right.
spending time with your daughter.
Right.
Or on the business day, getting that, writing that blog post, then
right.
that part is done. I love that. I love that. And I always love, recently I was reading the book of Joshua, and when he gets into the promised land at the very end, he says, there is still land yet to be conquered. And I've started saying that to myself at the end of the day, you know, Eileen, there's always going to be land yet to conquer. So,
yeah.
so the goal anymore is not reaching the end of the to-do list, because that left me feeling defeated. But did I
right.
do what God wanted me to do first, and did I do it well? And this is all really good. And it's like relearning things, because you think multitasking multiplies your time, but it actually goes against it. So yes. I love that. Okay. And the last one, embrace the gift of boundaries. Oh my goodness. If there's something that women need to learn, it's this one.
So true.
You know, it's so hard for us to say no. So go further into this for us. And you have lots of great examples in your newsletter, but I'll let you expound.
Yeah, so I read, actually, going back to my books, I read this book called Boundaries, and it changed my life. It's by Henry Cloud and Townsend. So anyway, it's amazing. Highly recommend the book. And now, if you really feel like you struggle with boundaries, I'd really recommend that you read that. But basically, it talks about how God himself has boundaries. He has put boundaries in place on this earth and in our lives. And we, in order to grow up and be the mature believer that he's called us to be, we have to embrace that gift and set boundaries in our life. And that goes in so many areas of our life. Like, it goes for relationships, it goes for how we're eating, it goes for exercise, it goes for work. Because, like, for instance, for me, my weakness is work. I love my work, and so it can really creep into all areas of my life. It can start to take away from my health. It can start to take away from my family if I let it, right? And it's up to me to put, knowing that that's a weakness of mine, to put boundaries on my work so that I have preserved all those other super important areas of my life, like my marriage and my health. And over the years, you know, I used to be an overwhelmed workaholic. Like, the first 5 years of my business, probably I just would, it, like, I couldn't be stopped. And what I've learned since I've read that book, and since I've read a lot of books on time management, and I've just followed the Lord and tried to grow up a little bit in that area, is just to put practical boundaries in place. Okay, so, like, what does that look like? Drawing up a timeline for your day before it begins, like I just talked about, setting those three priorities, keeping my inbox closed on my desktop unless it's during the time that I've allotted for email answering.
Yeah.
That's another boundary I put. You know, those are all kind of work boundaries. I also, you know, well, I'll put my phone on do not disturb for a few hours if I need to get something done. Or
yeah, I do that.
I'll also keep Instagram and social media. I always try to take 1 or 2 days off completely of social media on the weekends, just so that I can be present with my family.
Yeah.
So just things like that that I set into place. I work 3 days a week now. I have my hours that I work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. 3 days a week so that I can be home with my girls and every evening and 4 days a week. So just having those things in place, it forces me to forces me to prioritize the things in my life that are most important. So yeah, just putting those things in place. And I could go on and on, but I don't want to take up too much time. It's just good to know that boundaries are actually God-given and they're healthy, and they are a huge, huge piece of having a life that feels balanced and feels fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. This has all been great advice. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your time and you sharing this with us. And I know that everybody is listening. I mean, I wouldn't you just love to sit down with Nancy, like, and have her teach you leadership and all this? Well, that's what I thought. And what I want to say to my listeners is that you're continually putting out ebooks and classes and just different things like that, that where you're sharing what you've learned with us. And whether it's the book club or, for example, with Treasure Ministries, we used your ebook on an effective hiring process and it was great. And so,
awesome.
So while we are closing up today, I don't want our listeners to feel like this is the end, because you've made it possible that we can continue to learn. And what I love is you're walking through this journey yourself.
Yes.
And you are taking what you're learning and packaging it for women like me who are, whether you're running a ministry or starting a business or you're a mom. And that is so helpful. That is so helpful. And so if you're interested in more information about Nancy Ray and her business, but more importantly, I just love you as a person and as a leader. You've inspired me, and I love your content. And so,
thank you.
So at the bottom of this podcast, we've got the links to all that we've talked about today. And inside of this podcast, we'll also list the 5 steps. But Nancy will send out other newsletters, so make sure you sign up for that. And Nancy, I cannot thank you enough. And you've certainly whet my appetite for more. So I'll be looking to see what you have next coming around the bend. But thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else that you want to just add, thinking about this 5-step process of eliminating overwhelm and finding that, or restoring that joy? Is there just one last nugget of wisdom that you would share?
Oh, goodness, that's a great question. I think, you know, staying humble, trying new things, and making sure that you understand that this process isn't necessarily easy, but it is simple. Yeah. I think that we complicate it a lot, and so it's pretty simple. And so just trying it, you know, just being, again, it goes back to, I can't get enough of just the quality of humility in a leader and in life. If we can just stay humble and hungry, I just want to encourage everybody who's listening, let's all choose to be that kind of person who's humble, who's hungry and willing to try new things, and understand that God, He is so loving and so willing to give us wisdom if we just keep asking for it. He will. He will just keep answering. And so, let's just go on that journey together and continue to be hungry for more of Him and more knowledge, more wisdom, and just that simplicity. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Stay humble, stay hungry, and get ready for a beautiful life of abundance as we follow the leading of the Lord. Nancy Ray, I appreciate you so much, and I thank you so much for giving us your time today to share your wisdom. And to all the listeners out there, it doesn't have to end. You can go to her website and just continue to learn. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you so much. So grateful to be here.
Thanks so much, everybody, for listening in. And I look forward to speaking to you next week as we continue this journey of learning more about good leadership. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye-bye.